is because of what that song implied. Happy because I can worship God in spirit and truth. I can sing to the Lord. I can praise the Lord's name openly. I live in a country where I'm allowed to talk about Jesus without going to jail. And I'm really happy about that. I'm happy because I can sing. I'm happy because I can come to the service and we do the things like the communion of the Lord and we listen to the Word of God. Those things should make us happy. And I'm hoping and praying that you all feel the same way. Because it's so important to be happy in the Lord. If you consider with me the book of Psalms in the verse chapter 100... Psalm 100. We had a message on this particular psalm, probably worth preaching again. But in the very beginning here, he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence. Know that the Lord, he is God. And we want to talk tonight about serving the Lord with gladness. You know, in most of our assemblies, we do these things. In all the assemblies, we practice the singing and we pray and we have the Lord's Supper and we give of our means. And those things should be making us happy because we know that in doing that, we're doing the will of God. And most of that, when you think of the assemblies, you think of a time coming together. And part of that time is devoted to preaching, in which the focus should be on the Word of God, and in which God's Word needs to be expounded upon or applied in many ways in our lives. We want to serve the Lord with gladness. We want to come before His presence with singing, with joy in our hearts, especially when we come together on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night when there are a few members lacking, and then we might sometimes feel down, but don't feel down. You don't want to do that because God is here with us. Remember, wherever two or more are gathered, there also will I be. And we're here. And why so much devotion to the activity of preaching and teaching? And then certainly there's a scriptural precedent for it. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, Paul waited a whole 8 days so that he could come together on Sunday, the first day of the week. And it says that Paul preached to them. You know, he dialegomai was the Greek word. He had discourse with them. And it's also a great potential. There's great time to be convicted, to be informed. It's a time when we can convert our own thoughts and our own lives. Let the Word of God do its work within us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 13, till I come, Paul said, give reading and attention, exhortation to the teaching and the doctrine. And so we come together for that purpose. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, there's something great's going to happen. You save both yourself and those who hear you. Think about that. And when we think about the assemblies and the study of God's Word and the application of it in our lives, that can save our own souls, keep our own souls safe, and it also helps other people come to the knowledge of Christ. It's a process. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I charge thee therefore in the name before God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the dead and the living at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all patience and long suffering. Why? Because the word of God can bring joy to a heart. The word of God can lift up the low, and it can level off those who are too haughty. The word of God converts the soul. And so when people hear the truth, which many times they don't, very few congregations actually preach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so we come to serve God, to be in His presence with song and prayers and to be able to hear the Word of God. And despite the potential of different effects of preaching. Some people, maybe they become informed and inspired. Other people become bored and unimpressed. And sadly, that's true. And we, you know, we ask, why is there a difference? And again, something is based upon what we put in it. Many times it's what you put in it. And if you come ready, if you come wanting to hear, if you come like these Hebrews did, and they make a joyful shout unto the Lord as they're coming to worship. And you notice in Psalm 100, they were on their way to Jerusalem. They were on their way singing this. They weren't already in the assembly. And we need to be that way in our lives. Every day of our life should be filled with joy, and the assembly should just add icing to the top of the cake. But we do get out of it what we put in it. And we want to see how that applies to listening to someone preach. You know, there was a man one time, a husband and a wife were at a party, and they're chatting with their friends on the subject of marriage. And the idea of counseling came up. And this man says, oh, we never need counseling in our marriage. My wife and I have a great relationship. You know, the husband explained this. He said, you see, my wife, she's a communications major. I majored in theater and arts. And so he continued. He said, she communicates and I act like I'm listening. And that's just an idea of what you get out of it. So we want to serve the Lord with gladness. Those willing to listen properly, wonderful things can happen. Look in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. This is Jesus talking about people who are in a situation where they can hear and see the things that are going on there. Jesus says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, he says, I say unto you, the prophets, they wanted to hear and to see, and they desired to hear and see the things that you actually are hearing and seeing now. What you hear and see, they didn't hear. David, the king, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, they wanted to know the end. They had pieces and parts, shadows of things, but they wanted to know the end. But it wasn't until Jesus came, and it wasn't until he died, and it wasn't until he arose up into heaven that he left the commandments, and the Holy Spirit came and revealed these things. When Paul talks about it, he says that it was revealed to him the mystery of God, and he wrote about it, so we now have that. The things that they want, that should bring us joy, just in itself. We should have joy. Those people wanted, you know, the things that pertaining to the wonderful blessings of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. All the blessings that are in Christ Jesus. They just yearned for that. We have that. If you've been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and you've been living faithful, you're in Christ, you're saved, and you have access to those spiritual blessings. Isn't that great? We're people, spiritual people, because of Christ. And we're able to hear things that other people, they just don't get it. As you know, it's the Word of God that we need. It's finding the Word of God to give us great joy. It's not the preacher. It's the Word. And so if you don't get anything out of this message, don't blame me. And we may miss out on blessings, and the reason is because we don't carefully listen. We need to be willing to listen properly to receive those wonderful things. So the benefits of what we hear in Matthew 13, 16, and 17, what Jesus said. Those are great blessings that we have eyes to hear and ears to hear where other people couldn't do it. It's sad, beyond imagination that there are people today that worship the name of Jesus and do not have any way of believing the truth about how you get into Jesus. It boggles the mind. The problem is that their joy is but for a moment. You know, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I spoke to you that you may have peace. That in me you may have peace." That's what the Christian life is. But he went on and he said, "In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." We serve a living Savior who's overcome sin and death in the world. He has told us what we must do to be saved. And when we do that, we receive these things in ways that the rest of the world does not. And on that day, when Jesus divides the nations left and right, he's going to say to those on his left, "Go away from me into everlasting punishment, separated from God for eternity. Yes, you worship me. Yes, you use my name. Yes, you did many wonderful things in my name. But you didn't do it according to my Father's will." And you can read that in John chapter 7, Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. We have such a rich reason to have joy and blessings because we can hear and we can see those things. And one can only develop that, of course, by faith. And when you think about that, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I've said it so many times, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. There's joy in that, because all you have to do is simply believe the words. You know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I think that's a very powerful and very well-known verse, but how often do you hear verse 17? In verse 17, Paul says, For in it is the righteousness of God. That's the word of God, the power of God, the salvation, the gospel. In it is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And when we think about living by faith, you got to think about Romans chapter 10, verse 14. If you look at that in your Bibles, Romans chapter 10 and in verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, there should be great joy in the assemblies. There's reasons for the word of God being commanded to be preached each Lord's Day. There's reasons why the church comes together on Wednesday night. It isn't because we pass around cookies and candy and soda pop and we just have a good old time and everybody else is just missing out. It's because the joy of being together and hearing God's word overwhelms us. Just can't think of a good reason why I wouldn't want to be here. And I think most of you are of the same mindset. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 goes on with that thought. You know, somebody has to hear. They have to be blessed by the word. It has to come from somebody that's preaching. And when we think about the preacher, it doesn't mean Dave. Any one of you here can preach the word of God to somebody and make them feel good. And believe me, it makes you feel good. Romans 10:17 tells us how we come into this place of great joy, how we get so much gladness with serving the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And kind of chew on that a second. Everybody says they have faith. You can walk up to the average person on the street and say, "Do you have faith?" "Yes." "You believe in Jesus?" "Yes." "Can you tell me 10 things Jesus commanded in the New Testament?" And you're going to hear, "No, no, 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 no." He said, "Love one another." People get that all the time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. And you say you have faith, but you don't know God's words. And we want to serve the Lord with gladness. We have to know those words. One can certainly gain faith from reading through God's Word. You know, look at John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Here, truly, John writes, Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples. That would have brought them joy, you would think. Many things that are not written in this book. And then in verse 31, it's very important what he said there, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, Son of God. That believing you may have life in his name. Just that ought to bring you joy. To know exactly what it means, believing. We're going to have life in his name because we believe the words. We're going to come and serve the Lord with gladness. We get more out of the assembly because we hear the word preached. Because we have time to read those words. Too often, too many are dependent upon what they hear proclaimed and not dependent upon what they study. But does our lack of listening during the preaching hinder development of our faith? It most certainly does. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, Paul writes this, "For we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth." The gospel causes you to bear fruit. One of the fruits is joy. Isn't that one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. We can serve the Lord with gladness, with joy in our hearts. And what Paul is saying here is that we have faith, we have love, we have hope, all laid out there. You remember that? Does that sound familiar? 1 Corinthians 13:13. But we have these things laid out. But each time it's because of something we heard. And so when we have the assemblies like this, hearing what's being said, if it's God's word, it's just filling us up and we should have joy in the assembly. He says, but that was since the day you heard and knew. Epigenosko, to understand. It's a Greek word, to know. It means to acquire information. There's times in the Bible where the Bible tells us that Jesus knew their intentions. He knew their thoughts. And that's the Greek word oida, which means he knew this miraculously. But this means that I've heard and I've gained the knowledge from the hearing. So by careful listening, we can understand God's grace. We can understand God's plan. And therefore, we can be motivated to bear fruit and to have great joy in the assemblies. To hear that something that's being said, something that's being narrated, something coming out of somebody's mouth. And so careful listening, that motivates, it builds, it helps us understand. When we preach about the invitation of Christ, and there are so many in this world have been taught wrong about that. They've been taught that all you do is believe. But the gospel teaches differently. And when you come to the realization, it puts a smile on your face. And it also gives us the opportunity to avoid apostasy. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 verses, or chapter 2 rather, verses 1 through 3. In this chapter, the Hebrew writer is telling us to give the more earnest heed. When he says that in that very first verse there, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. That means all the more careful attention. We want to pay really close, careful attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And so assemblies like this and Bible studies on Wednesday and Sunday morning, they designed by God to help us to come to better knowledge, to have a stronger foundation, a stronger faith, to keep us from drifting away. He goes on there to say, "For if the word spoken through angels provided steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward." He says just reward. That word just reward, it means retribution, penalty. Look that up on the internet, the definition. It's also retribution or recompense, something that's dealt out for wrongdoing, even death penalty. It comes under that word. He says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation which first began, spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard it?" What a thing, the gospel should fill us up. Every time we hear the words being spoken out of this book, you should be able to put a connection between that and God. You're hearing God, even though I'm reading it, you're hearing God. When you read it, I hear God. When anybody reads it, you hear God. When anybody preaches it accurate, you're hearing God. Wherever two or more gathered, there also shall I be. He's here, and we hear. What a wonderful thing. And those are just a few blessings that come from listening to the preaching and the teaching of God's word. What salvation, what patience, what understanding, what love, what joy, what peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what Jesus said. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." That's our God. That was Jesus, John chapter 16, verse 33. And that's just to name a few. And there's different kinds of listeners when we think about, there's people that are dull of hearing, Hebrews chapter 5, 11, whom we have much to say and to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. That word nephros, it means to be very blunt or dull, sluggish, remiss in your abilities to hear. When a person has this problem, it's hard to explain things to them. And a lot of times the problems come from denominational error teaching. A lot of times it comes from family raising somebody up to teach something they were taught rather than what he said, and applying it the way he said it and meant it rather than the way somebody... Now, how many times do you talk to somebody about the Bible and they'll tell you that's not what that means? That's one of the biggest defenses in the world out there. They can't have joy because the words "he who believes and is baptized shall be saved" just can't mean what it says. It just doesn't mean that. What it means is if you believe, you'll be saved. No, I don't know how you can have joy when you have to defend what you believe constantly. I just share what I believe. That's a problem. You know, and the fault's not with the material. You can blame the preacher, but the fault is not with the material. It's with the hearer, the listener. You think about what Isaiah wrote, and Jesus quoted Isaiah in Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 through 15. It's things that prevent people from hearing God's truth, Matthew 13, 13 through 15. It's things that can turn somebody from sin that they can't hear. It's something that can heal the lost to help them to be saved in Christ, to see God's face one day, and they can't because they can't hear. Jesus says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, seeing that they do not see, and hearing, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear." And he says that at least they should understand. Again, gnosko. To be able to receive things and to make sense of them and understand them. And he says, "Seeing you will not see, you won't perceive, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand. You know, the hearts of these people, he says, have grown dull. It's the same word, blunt, sluggish. Their ears are hard of hearing. Again, the same word, dull. Their eyes, they've closed. Least they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Least they should understand and that they should turn and I should heal them. That's what Jesus was quoting from Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10. You know, if we look at Isaiah, let's turn to that, Isaiah chapter 6. You will read if we go down and just if we read verse 10, we need to go up to verse 9. Just prior to this, you know, God's in the picture, Isaiah's in the picture, and Isaiah, God is, you know, whom shall I send, and to whom will go for us? He said he heard the voice of the Lord saying that in verse 8. And then the end of verse 8, then I said, here I am, send me. Pretty familiar, right? In verse 9, he goes on and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing but don't understand. Keep on seeing but don't perceive. Make your heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. And return and be healed. And then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities lay waste and without inhabitants, where houses are without a man, a land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. That's the opposite of what we want. We want to be people who do see, who do hear, because of the Spirit of God. We don't want to be people like in Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 11, who were rejected. They didn't want to heed. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped up their ears so that they couldn't hear. No, you can't have joy in the assembly. You can't serve the Lord with gladness. We need to be people who are not dull of hearing. We need to be people that don't have itchy ears and just want to hear certain things. That's what Paul wrote about. That's what's the problem with the majority of the religious world. Paul said there will a time will come, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, a time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears from the truth and turn again unto fables. That's what's going to happen. No, that's exactly what's happened. People have done that. The majority of the religious world refuses the words of God and they build churches. These people refuse this set of words and they build that church. These people refuse that set of words, they build this church. 30-some thousand. No, we serve the Lord with gladness because we consume that word. We take that word, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, in season, out of season. We rebuke, we exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Listen, what we do is what Jesus spoke in the parable of the sower and the seed. We sow the seed that falls on good ground and we hear. And with a good and noble heart, we keep it and we bear fruit with patience. We can serve the Lord with gladness. We're like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 who received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. They were fair-minded, the scripture says, willing to hear, willing to give Paul a chance. And it showed how they received with all readiness of heart. That's how to kind of listen. That gives you the ability to serve the Lord with gladness. Listening is an act of worship in one fashion, because it's important, it's commanded. And it keeps us from sin. It brings joy to our hearts. Reading, you can't just read along for the ride. You have to listen with faith. Listen with a mind to act. And you know what happens when you tell other people? When you tell other people, that happens. And then you know who that is? That's a young boy, Grayson Clamp. He's 3 years old when this picture was taken. This is back in July 21st, 2013. He was born without a cochlear nerve. He was born deaf. He was the first to receive a brain, auditory brain stem transplant. And after all the surgeries are done, that photograph tells the whole story. He's glad. He's excited. He's just amazed. When you talk to people about the gospel and they love Jesus, they get amazed. When you talk to people who love the truth, now you can love Jesus and not love the truth, and I know that's an oxymoron because Jesus is the truth, but you can love Jesus and not love his word, the truth. But when they love Jesus and they love the truth, bam! You tell them something they haven't heard. You have to believe and be baptized according to Jesus to be saved. I never heard that. Where's the baptism? Where's the water? And that's what you get. That tells the whole story. You know, sometimes you'll see this face on a person who has just realized that they need to obey the gospel. I don't know what time I started, but to keep you happy, I think it's about time to end, isn't it? We want to serve the Lord with gladness, with great joy in our hearts, and realize that worship is an act. Listening, rather, can be an act of worship. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Verse 27. You know, in verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" In verse 26, he said, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" And so he answered and he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And now look at verse 28. And he said to him, this is Jesus, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." John 6:45 says you have to hear and be taught the Word of God in order to come to God. So do we do that? John chapter 8, verse 24 tells us that we have to believe that Jesus is. He is the Christ. Do we do that? Do we believe the words of God? See, Jesus is telling him, do it. You'll have life. Well, if I hear and I'm taught, and I say, I've heard and I'm taught, do I believe it? Well, yeah, I believe it. Well, in Luke 13:3, Jesus said, you must repent or you will likewise perish. Do I want to perish? No, I don't want to perish. I don't want to live away separated from God for eternity. I want to have this joy that lives on into eternity. Do I do that? If I looked at the sin in my life, as little as it may be, if I'm refusing God, I'm in sin. If I refuse to obey the gospel, I'm in sin. Is that the only sin that you're dealing with in your life? Well, can you do that? And if I have repented, and I'm willing to say, yeah, I'm a sinner, and I just want to turn away from this sin, then am I willing to confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, before men? Because he tells us that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 31 and 32. He tells us that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. And he says, if you don't confess me before men, neither will I confess you before the Father. So you got to do it. Jesus said, you answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Jesus said, you must believe and be baptized to be saved. Believe and be baptized to be saved. Have you done that? And I'm not talking about sprinkling. I'm not talking about pouring. I'm not talking about a Catholic baptism or a Methodist or a Wesleyan or a Baptist baptism or any other denominational baptism. You could have been baptized, immersed in the water. Doesn't matter if that baptism wasn't the baptism of Christ for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 16, verse 22, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. That's what puts you in the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they said, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Have you done that? Have you done that? And listen to verse 27 again. He says, this man says to God, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Are you doing that? With all your soul, are you doing that? With all your strength, are you doing that? With all your mind, are you doing that? Do you want to be saved? Then you have to do it. And if you are a Christian, Revelation 2:10, Jesus said, remain faithful until death and you'll receive the crown of life. Are you living faithful? The point that I'm trying to make here is this man knew. He knew what he had to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. Love the Lord your God. He knew it. Jesus knew he wasn't doing it. We're not going to fool God. On the last, then when Jesus comes back and you stand before the Lord and you say, Lord, Lord, I love you and I've done so many great things in your name, and he's going to look at you and say, go away, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. It's not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heavens, but those who, there's that word again, do. Do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Have you done what you've heard? Or are you just hearers only? If you have need tonight, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.